Jewish girl singer. Played a copa, I guess, with Sylvia Carl. She's a Pittsburgh girl from her name is Callens. And she lived on Wilkins Avenue, and she did very well. And she was with Joey Lewis at the Live Casino, and she played the Hall of Hotel Chains. She played the Carousel first, and then she played for me. And I don't remember what happened there after that. But the comedians were all Jewish. Don Rickles. Romy Bishop. Romy Bishop is he married a Pittsburgh girl, and he was Joey Bishop's partner. And they came to Pittsburgh as the Bishop brothers, and Romy stayed here. In fact, every one of the community, Henny Anglin, Sid Bull, Bobby Lester, Joey Bishop. Do you have that list I gave you there? I'm going to have to refer to it. There's so many. Buddy Ratchet, Jackie Bright, Sammy Shore, Herky Style, Leon Field, Bobby Shield, Larry Storch, Henny Anglin, Marty Engel, he's married to Blonde, Shirley Jones. And you got all these singers, a lot of them, like Gaines Brothers, Norman Brooks, I'm saying like I was also. Most of the singers were either Italian or color.
Do you hear from some of these people now?
Andre Philippe, I do. See, Andre Philippe was one of the biggest attractions I ever had because he came off a television show that was red hot. And I went to New York to see this Tiny Sinclair, who was also Jewish. She was dying from cancer. And whenever I got there, Marvin Ackerman was my manager, so he called me and he said, "Who's this Andre Philippe?" And I said, "Why is he getting a lot of reservations on it?" And I said, "Well, let me see, what do we have next week?" He mentioned the name, I said, "We'll cancel him and I'll put in Andre for another week." He said, "Well, we got two more." He says, "Well, take them both out and give them another day and we'll play Andre for 3 weeks." And he played for 3 weeks and he did sensation. He was coming off a show called Chance of a Lifetime. And he did exceptionally well. He went to Hollywood and he made movies. And he became a cantor. And rabbi, Stanley's right name is Everett Cooper. And while he was here, he was on television for a whole year. He made his home here. And he still has a lot of friends from Pittsburgh who want to see him. And he was engaged to Judy Garland. And he's still very active. But very religious. He works as a rabbi, and he's a very handsome man.
Is he a vocalist? Was he a vocalist?
No, yeah, he was Andre Philippe. So you wouldn't be old enough to remember him. He came out in the '50s. and Diane Carroll and a few of them came off that one show. And he became sensational in the city for Dumont was. The Dumont had five television stations. And he was very, very big. And then he went to Hollywood and he was very big in Florida. And he made a lot of pictures. Never a big star. He was always played the Frenchman. See, that was his act. He played he would have a fake French accent. He actually studied his in France after the war. He was a very big, very big attraction. He was Jewish. And there's so many of these you can't call Sammy Davis a Jew because he's a Jew now. But, that's because he converted.
You still hear from him?
I was with him about a year ago, and I got a regard from him about 6 months ago.
Can I ask you,
how many years did you have COPA? 1948 to 1960.
And then, that was just, you just closed that?
Sold it. At the end, I felt the nightclub business was over. That was, Jackie Heller had already closed. I had lost the carnival because of redevelopment. And I got an offer to be the correspondent for Variety. It wasn't a big paying job, but it was a newspaper job I always wanted to do, but I could never afford it. I never was able to afford to work on a newspaper when I was 55. It just doesn't pay. It doesn't even business to pay. And in 1960, I sold it down to Andy Banco. They had 10 or 15 people in my family at the same time. But the nightclub business, see, had reached its peak during this period with the Monte Carlo, the Carousel, the Hotel, the Carnival, the Midway. And then the new arena came in, which was in the last. That was downtown. On the outskirts, you had the Twin Coaches, the Hall of the House had already started in 56. And you had the Bill Green's was just over with. But, the other Jew who had a nightclub was a guy named Bill Goldie. He had one called Blue Ridge Inn, Route 51. And then there was a guy named Sonny Miller, who had the Miller's Cafe. And he introduced jazz during the war. And we bought it from right after the war, and he went out and put in Boogie Woogie Nut Club and Boogie Woogie Sherman's were the Jewish comedians. In fact, all of his comedians were Jewish. They were all old and vaudevillian. Or burlesque performers. And then in burlesque sense, there was a Jew called George Jaffe. He controlled all the burlesque. So, you know, this type of entertainment, like burlesque, vaudeville, with a legitimate theater, but a small theater, where they play straight plays. That's almost a thing of the past now. And but the movie industry was dominated by the Jews.
What do you think was the cause of the demise of nightclubs?
Oh, well, the nightclubs was, see, when the war was over, there weren't that many. There were nightclubs in Pittsburgh from 1933, which was the end of Prohibition. But it was a small time until Bill Green, well, in fact, he isn't Jewish, I don't know whether you want me to kick anybody, but Bill Green had big bands, like the Willows had big bands. But the nightclub didn't come into existence until Jackie Heller put this place down on the river, a place called the Showboat, the Yacht Club. And then there was, he had main attractions. See, there was, the Hellers were there, three brothers, he's the only one living, Saul and Bill and Jackie. I think his sister still lives at Charlotte. But the Yacht Club, as we know it today, actually that never started until, see, during the war, you couldn't get anything. There was no attractions. And I thought, using a general term, it was any place there was music and you went there and they had to drink and have some food. And it was that night and they stayed till 2 o'clock in the morning. And during the war period, they flourished. Merker's was there, which he was owned by a guy named Al Merker. And he had moved into downtown Pittsburgh because he was out at Hickey Park and Millville. And during gas rationing, people couldn't come out to see him. Like in Bill Green's, he decided because in this parking lot, they found people coming out there with A stickers, gas rationing stickers. But that's your question. The actual boom in nightclubs started right after the war. And then the first attraction that I had was the Harmonic Cats. They had a record called Pick of My Heart. But it was set up for pianos. But the piano players you could get never cost more than $250. Talking about the big one. Maybe like close to Pink House and all that. Now, at the Midway, which we had bought from Miller's, we were able to put in jazz. And we had the Deuces Wild. And with the Deuces Wild, you could put in soloists, great soloists, like Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, even Dave Brubeck played there. Yeah. If you were a soloist, you could fit in Deuces Wild and you would play it. And some of these jazz names, like Kay Lindig, Benny Green, all the ones, like Dizzy Gillespie, all the ones that came out of that bebop period of the 50s, they would come in as a soloist and produce a Bob and play with them. Tommy Turk was it. Tommy Turk went to the Jazz Philharmonic. And Roy Elders was a regular. Earl Garner didn't fit in well because he was a local guy, and since he was black, he couldn't play with the white troops. But he came in later at the Hall of Show and it was on Trier. Is that what you want to know about Michael?
Yeah, I'd like to know, what did you do after you sold the company?
Well, the first thing I did, I bought the Marin. See, I brought the first pro basketball team back to Pittsburgh. And that's when I got that award from the Junior Chamber of Commerce. And the end of the year, I got the sports award. I brought back basketball. And we played in the Civic Arena. I brought in the Harlem Globetrotters for the first time. And, 2 years, because the folder, the relief folder, the relief folder. And I leased the Penn Theater. And we had a place out in, don't forget, during all this time, in 58 is when I started the cable system. See, that was the first one to have a cable TV system that we even had. Put the cable system in Terrapeak in 1958, and I had to take care of that. And I was trying to get into Pittsburgh, I was trying to get into Squirrel Hill, I was trying to get into Shays, every place I went, I couldn't get a channel, or try to put a cable system.
When did cable first start?
In Terrapeak. Because when I tried to put it in here, they wouldn't let me do it. Once in Mayor Barr and Mayor Flaherty, and at that time, Time Incorporated, in, I think 68, became my partner.
My partner,
they owned 90% of the business. And we tried everything to get Pittsburgh, but Warner Communications got out. And we didn't figure it out. And then I sold up all of them back to Time Incorporated in 1970. I sold the whole company. I had a thing called Shays Incorporated. But they weren't interested in the promotion part of it. Daughter was running with Pam. But they came to me and asked me if I would sell them. They bought another part of the business. And then they wanted us to buy more, they finally came up to 90%. This was the time that Jason Shapiro and Gabe Rubin and the three of us were partners.
In what? In the
cable? No, in this Penn Theater, which is now Heinz Hall. And,
what did you do? Was that movie
theater? No, I didn't. Do you remember
Hello,
Dolly?
Yeah.
Well, that was the biggest show we did. See, Jason and I were in there first. See, I had the lease, then Jason became my partner. We were going to put in rock shows, jazz, anything we could, and any legitimate show that was coming in. And then I got a feeling, not so much a feeling as I did, I got a contact about if Penn would be okay for Hello Dolly. And then we brought Gabe Rubin in, because he was the legit guy, he knew everything about it. And we played it for 4 weeks. And they set a legitimate house record in the city. At $620,000. And we kept that until Heinz told us to move out. And during this period, I was promoting. I was promoting, like I had the Rolling Stones in Cleveland, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. Miles Mabley, Thorne Baker, Ethan Franklin, St. Louis, Cincinnati. And I was doing Peter Paul and Mary for 10 years. I did Peter Paul and Mary. And I had attractions at Yale and Ohio State. And I played Harry after the Copa. I was doing most of my promoting after I left the Copa, because but then I was writing for Variety, and so which I started in '60, which I'm still doing. And then I promoted the amateur Diamond Bell Boxing for 6 years.
I wondered if we could go back now to the way back when you were first married, and tell us a little bit about your children. What are they doing now?
Let's see. Let me set the stage now. I was standing at the bar, and this gorgeous little girl comes up, Rick Brother. He says, "You know where I am? I'm Rosalind." And I said, "I don't even care." I said, "You can't drink it, you have to be 21. And I looked in her eyes and I saw my whole future developing. Because here I was already 32. And a man of 32, you know, doesn't jump into anything like marriage quickly. I had known the family for years. I dated the sister, I knew the mother. I knew they came from my family, exactly the same place, same area, and the same background as my family had. And this, as I saw, was my life. And I had to move fast. And then dated her 2 or 3 weeks later, and a month later, and man, I saw everything I wanted. So, she was graduating college, and so whenever we were at the Chelsea Club one night, and I guess I got the upcharge, so I said, "Let's get married." And I got a phone call from Hoop, and he was having some trouble. And he asked me to come out there and straighten it out for him. And I said, "Okay, I'll be out there." But I got a date. He said, "Bring her along." So I called her and I said, "Rose, you want to go to Las Vegas?" She said, "Sure, but I have to call my mother." I said, "While we're there," I said, "we might as well be married." So I went back to the bar and she called my mother. She called and she said, "Old friend of yours wants to talk to you." So she said, "So Dora, will you really?" "Dora, how are you?" And I said, I dated her other sister. And I used to stay there when I had a circus or some show in Denver. I would take the kids to the show. And she said, "Ronald Leonard?" I said, "Been a long time, and you know, people don't go to Las Vegas unless they get married, and I want you to go to Las Vegas to get married. I want you to come and see me, and just talk this over." She said, "I know you'll do that for me." "Okay, but you just show me again, I know." So anyway, that next weekend we went up there.
You went where? To Las Vegas?
To the bar. I think I wired her money. And I was too out of fall in nothingness because what more important thing happened. So I went up to the bar and sat there and listened. And asked me if I had a job. Anyway, it was very pleasant afternoon. I decided to be married about the following year. I've been married for a long time. Alright, now, our first baby came, David, 48. We married December 28th, and he was born November the 2nd. Tough time finding an apartment in Warrior. Finding an apartment on Fifth Avenue. That became 37. No, he's 37. She can't shoot anybody.
Who is that?
Rebecca.
That's your second child.
And, while Roz was, we had to leave the apartment because we were looking for a house, and the landlord had rented it, so we had to stay with my brother and move over to Bartlett Street in another apartment before we were able to get this house on Bridge Street. And this is where Becky was was born and breastfeeding, and Roz was pregnant during the week before we moved in. And he went to a normal childhood. He went to Bethany, then he went to Ohio State.
That's your first
son.
You have two children.
Two children. And he, she went to the California College of Fine Arts and went to Carnegie Mellon. And now she's designing a line for Guerin. And she was with a woman called Demon Neal, very famous art collector, for 7 years. And now she's designing a line for Guerin to market it. She has the rights to the Rockwell name. She got it from Curtis Luggage Company. And she's developing now for fall, I think.
She's
more of a that's what she was designing. She won the Kauffman Award in Peabody as best artist in anyway, she he's a writer. He's written one movie. Her husband, and now he's completing a movie for HBO.
That is your son-in-law.
Son-in-law.
What is his name?
Louis Jackson. And he's living in New York. David lives in Point Beach. And,
what does your son do?
No property yet. And he means investing. You know, he has a trust.
Is your son married?
No. He's 37. Probably married twice.
No grandchildren.
Okay. Saw them at the chief, I think. The original chief.
What do you do now? Do you just relax?
No, I write for CNS. See, there was my last concert was in the 60s, the Saul Hurock asked me to present the Bolshoi Ballet. And that's what I was doing at the Bolshoi Ballet in the Civic Arena two nights. And then I continued promoting and promoting every number of cities. And in Heinz Hall, Mexican folklore. I was promoting a Syria mosque in Mars. Let me put it this way. I promoted in every building, in every stadium in the city, like Forbes Field, Three River Stadium. I Aretha Franklin, Long Island, and Three River Stadium. Syria mosque, Syria music hall, Indians. So you're there, like Charles Moffin. Donovan, Bobby Dylan, I think Bobby Dylan in the movie, and Castle and Mary and La Paso and Albuquerque. See, I'm talking about that. This evening tells all the ones.
You might want to talk a little bit about what you think about the future of show business in this city, as you see it.
The future of show business lies in the hands of talent. I don't know anything. Talent, but within our lifetime, entertained everybody, and that's what I'm taking back as far as Bonneville on the radio. It was a talent. Then there was the entrepreneur, the producer, the promoter, that was another. They were being put out of business by the movie people. There again, the talent was always the great factor, or the entrepreneur. And whenever they put movies in the movie houses, in the Waterville houses, they found that they didn't need as much product. And the radio came on, and people stayed away from the movie house. But then the movies found talkies. Talkies, they found out they didn't need the silent pictures. Everything replaced the other by the talent. When radio came along, radio had an effect, but we're staying with the